Well, hey there. Welcome to the Bring Back the Poetry podcast. My name is Jason Tomlinson. I am so excited to be with you today. It has been 2 weeks. 2 weeks too long, I tell you what. I have been hither and yon. I got to go to Big Stuff Camp in Panama City, Florida, this past week, and that's why I've been so silent on the podcast. Of course, if you have been keeping up, you have noticed that I've still been putting out poetry every single day. What a joy and what a privilege it was to write poetry down in Panama City Beach, along with the Community Church of Hendersonville Youth Group. Shout out to my 9th and 10th grade boys. Well, they're 10th and 11th grade now. Such an honor to be down there with all the good people and that I do know and that I don't know. Thank you so much to Tom and Sandy Kintop and to Darren and Kim Frank for cooperating with this month's feature, being this month's features for the marriage series. And today, oh my goodness, good people of the internet, I'm so excited to bring you the love story, the marriage story, commitment story of Daryl and Kendra Lassiter, two of the finest folks this world has ever known or will ever know. They have been married almost 34 years, 34 this year coming up, and you'll hear more about that in the interview. They are some of the first folks I ever met at the Community Church of Hendersonville. I'm not sure if they know this. When we first visited Community Church, it was when we still lived in Los Angeles, and we came to check it out. It was raining, and I remember pulling up to the side door, and Daryl was right there with the umbrellas to get us in safe and dry. And I just remember how very friendly he was. Because I'm not often a visitor to church. So every time that I am a visitor, I always remember a lot about it. And I remember being over the top impressed with his level of care and just friendliness. And this has been, that was more than 10 years ago now. Golly. But then, of course, later on, we would actually come to Community Church as people to be there permanently and have been there since January 07. Woo! Here is Excellent Excellence, a tribute to Daryl and Kendra Lassiter. The very excellence he was practicing was the excellence she was looking for. And even when he showed up with it, she still demanded more, because she was worth it. So was he. Excellence demands excellence, and that's what they both would see. An idea was born, and really, it could not have been better. And in the fullness of time, they became more excellent together. So they started this excellent journey, sharing one name, and time bore witness to that excellence staying the same. In fact, the excellence couldn't be contained just between the two. Two daughters, two sons, that excellence grew and grew. And even then, with children on their own, they just couldn't keep the excellence for them alone. It began to flood out into the streets and into other towns. Their excellence went viral and knew nor respected no bounds. Romantically, domestically, and vocationally, too. Their excellence couldn't just pick one place to blossom into view. 34 years of it, and hundreds have been blessed. Hundreds stand in awe and respect to honor the very best, unassuming, understanding, undeniably understood, to be pillars of virtue full of grace, known all over, overflowing with good. Let it be written, and so let it be said. Holy Father, let such excellence in your world be spread. Thank you for such examples of just how good it can be. Their excellence is yours, evidence for all to see. These are the kinds of people that I rush to give hugs every time I see him on Sunday. In fact, just a few hours ago, I saw Daryl at church and hugged him immediately. And he has this big, nice beard, and it's a fuzzy hug, which sounds hilarious. And then Kendra, it was funny because during the communion this morning, she happened to be the one that passed it to me, and I stood up out of the pew, took the communion tray from her, gave her a hug during the Lord's Supper. So awesome. And it wasn't even a thing. And these are definitely parents to a lot of people. They're too young. They're too young to be parents to me. They're more like, okay, yeah, they are kind of like parents to me. Anyways, stick around. Listen to my interview with them. If you know them, I think your heart will be, your heart for them will increase. And if you don't know them, I think that you will still be blessed, because their story is very sweet. And from a time, you know what, back in the late 70s. So definitely a good love story. Here we go. It is an extreme honor to be with Daryl and Kendra Lassiter. I've known them for about 7 years. In fact, they're among the first people I ever met at Community Church. Extremely friendly, extremely personable. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
It's great to be here and talking with you.
Thank you so much. You guys have been married almost 34 years. It'll be 34 this August, yeah. August 15th. And let's just get right to the story. How did you guys meet?
Well, actually, it was totally unintentional. And I was sitting for my state board, and she was one of the proctors.
Now, state board, you're an optometrist.
I'm an optician.
Okay, thank you, optician.
And opticians require licensure and education and all that good stuff to keep our license. But she happened to be sitting down front proctoring the exam, and mm-hmm. I noticed her eyes and her eyebrows and pretty smile. And
I noticed the fact that he didn't have his ID card to get into the exam. And he tried to sweet talk me into letting him in, and I wouldn't do it because that was the rule and I was going to go by the book. So he went back out to the car and got his ID card. Fortunately, he did have it. So he came in, and during the exam, I'm sitting out front with the board members. We're watching the applicants take the test, and one of the board members was talking about the different people out there, and she pointed at Daryl and said, "Now that's Daryl Lassiter. He's going somewhere. You know, look at how he's dressed for the exam. He's dressed for success. Look how the others are dressed." I would have never dated someone without knowing something about them ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so this board member just said he came from a good Christian family.
Ooh.
He was the right kind of person.
Now, do you remember this board member she's talking about?
Most definitely, Joan Johnson. She and her husband were very prominent opticians, and they knew everybody because we were a smaller group of professionals than we are now. So it was sweet that they made comment to her, because I was looking for a girl, I guess you could say.
Sure.
You know, kind of bored of being single. But it was really a sweet blessing, because I noticed her eyes, I noticed her smile, and then when she was walking in the parking lot, I noticed something else.
Now you came to this test. What were you wearing?
A suit and tie.
To a test?
This is a board exam. The board members wear. I mean, this is like being at a board meeting.
Okay.
And you want to put your best foot forward so that these people will go, well, yeah, you know, he's probably going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And at that time, this is 79. I mean, even more so at that time, if you had a neat haircut and you dressed nice,
yeah,
then you actually got benefit out of that.
Got a phone call over here. That's fine. So, was that more common back then? No, it wasn't common because he really stood out.
He did. He stood out, and the board members encouraged me during breaks to go out and talk to the applicants. And it was a two-day exam. On the morning of the second day, Daryl asked me if he could have my phone number. And I figured if he was going to be serious about calling me, that he could take time to look up the phone number. So I wouldn't give him my personal number. I told him that he could call me at the office with the Board of Dispensing Opticians.
Nice.
And that very afternoon after the exam, before I even got back to the office, he had already called and left a message.
So you called him back?
No, I waited for him to call again.
You waited for him to call again. She's serious, Daryl.
She was serious, and that's what she thought, too. And if he really, really, really wants to get to know me, he'll make the effort. And of course, I did. And it all boils down to this. She let me chase her until she caught me.
She let me chase her until she caught me.
Yeah.
You wrote the book on Hard to Get. I haven't heard anything that good yet in that department. That's great.
Well, I had dated a few people before.
Yeah.
And it was all shallow.
Sure.
And I figured if someone was worth their salt, then they would
put forth
the effort, exactly. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Awesome.
That's so awesome. We started dating about a week later.
Okay. And where were y'all living at this time?
I was living at Lagardo.
In Lagardo. And where were you, Daryl?
In between White House and Greenbrier.
Okay.
So there was a 100-mile trip every day. Because I'd go to Madison, go to Lebanon, go to Greenbrier, go to Madison, go to Lebanon, go to Greenbrier.
Yeah.
That did get old after 2 years.
I bet you it did. I bet you it did. So, your dating relationship, any breakups during the dating, or was it solid?
She left a note at the office one morning saying, if we ain't going anywhere, I'm getting out. And in 3 weeks, we were married.
Well, we had dated for 2 years.
Right.
And I just felt like that the relationship had gotten stagnant.
Gotcha.
That we either needed to go forward or we needed to break up.
Yeah.
And I remember the night before I wrote that note, I got down on my knees at home. I was living in my parents' house at Lagardo. Got down on my knees and I told God, if this is what it's supposed to be, it is. If it's not, then I accept that.
Yeah.
And so I wrote that note. I was going to try to meet with him that morning.
Yeah.
But I had to get on to work and I stopped by his office, so I left a note. And before the end of the day, he was at my office with some flowers and asking not for me to break up with him. And he's right. 3 weeks later, we were married in my parents' backyard.
That is awesome. Who married you guys?
Charles Jones.
Okay.
He was a preacher from Lafayette, Tennessee.
Okay. And a wedding together in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Woo! How many were on each side? Bridesmaids, groomsmen?
Both my sisters were my twin maids of honor, if you will.
Nice.
And his dad and his brother stood up with him.
I like that. I like that. And there was something about the lake that day. Tell me about that.
It was really special. This is August 15th, a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Most people were out on the lake running up and down Lagardo.
Mm-hmm.
It was quiet. And her dad had mentioned to the Coast Guard that worked out in that area that there was going to be a wedding that Saturday. So the Coast Guard were so generous and gracious to stop all the traffic during the ceremony. So we heard not one boat motor the whole time.
Wow.
That's the grace of God on us.
Yeah.
There was one sweet thing about the wedding that I have to point out. We got a quick little shower. And we have always believed that rain, slight rain, or rain like that is a blessing because it waters the earth and it keeps the cycles going.
Yeah.
For us, it watered our marriage
and
blessed us.
I like that.
And so we don't look at rain as being a bad thing at all, unless it does it for days and we need an ark.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. Man, so newlyweds, it's 1981, and pretty soon your new parents. What then?
Wow, life changed.
Yeah.
Life changed big time because we'd enjoyed just being with each other, and we had built a house that we're still in to this day.
Okay.
And in that house, we were starting to set up our nest, if you will.
Yeah.
And when Kara came along, that was a life-changing event for them, for us, and for her, poor kid. And she got us.
Blessed kid.
Blessed parents.
We really were, because we had all four of our children have been blessings to us. And we know that the good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights.
Yeah.
He gave us these people, and then we gave them right back.
Yeah.
We knew that they weren't ours to keep, that they were his, that we needed to do everything we could do as parents to raise them up in the nurture and admonition. Mm. So she quit work when Carol was born and stayed at home to be there to change diapers.
I kept other kids, too, to help buy groceries.
Yeah. So eventually you would return to the work, but not for a while.
After Kara was about 3 years old, two or 3 years old, I went to work for a company in Hendersonville.
Okay.
And enjoyed working with that company. Katie came along. I liked the job well enough, and we worked it out so that I could still work and have the two girls.
Yeah.
But then when Katie was about 16 or 17 months old, I realized that I was losing my daughter to a babysitter.
Mm.
And so I quit work.
Yeah.
We worked it out for me to be able to stay home again with the girls.
Yeah.
And when Katie was in kindergarten, getting ready to start kindergarten, is when I found out I was pregnant with Craig.
Nice. I love all four of y'all kids, man.
Thank you.
I wish y'all could, if you know them, you know how incredible this family is. So, skipping up to October of about 2000, what are the decisions, what are the events that led up to y'all becoming partners? Not partners. I mean, was he your boss for a while?
Oh, he is my boss.
He still is the boss.
He is my boss, but, you know, he's tried to fire me several times, and I just won't leave.
You can't fire family, so says
the commander. The company that he worked for closed the optical that he was working for.
Okay.
And that's because the hospital, Memorial, was being closed, and that's where all four of our kids were born. That's where I had worked from 75 until 2000. So that Memorial was a big place for us. And then when they closed it, they closed the optical shop and said, well, here's your retirement, Daryl. What's left of the optical shop? So I got the parts and pieces.
The old equipment.
And we started in our house and soon subleased from an audiologist, because since I wasn't a medical doctor putting people in the hospital, they wouldn't let me have my own suite.
Yeah.
18 months of that, carrying computer and equipment and everything back and forth, she goes over looking like a beast of burden, having briefcases on both sides and satchels and everything, and talks to one of the guys at the hospital.
Yeah.
And they say, well, we'll think about it. So we prayed earnestly, the widow woman and the unjust judge.
Right.
You know, we had that, you know, Lord, you know, we need to do this for our family and for the people who desire to come to us.
Yeah.
So we prayed, and they came around and said, okay, we'll let you have a spot. So they showed us a new suite in the new building and said, you can have this one. The view was of the brick of the hospital.
It was awful.
So we went and prayed again. Lord, give us at least one good window. Good window. And we have a wall of windows with a view of the Nashville Basin, so we can see the skyline of Nashville. That's the name of the hospital. And see airplanes departing and landing. God gave us more than we could have asked for.
Mm.
So it started, we were pushed that way because of a closing of one building and a closing of one business.
Yeah.
But God opened up another one for us.
And then you've been in business now for almost 15 years.
On our own.
Yeah.
On our own.
Man.
after 40 years of doing this, you'd think I'd get good at it.
That's not what I heard. I hear you guys are awesome, as I know well. There are several couples here at church that I know of, and several couples that I just know of, period, that work together, not the least of which is my wife and I. Mm-hmm. I remember when Leah and I worked a fireworks tent together. That was okay, I guess. But teaching together is a lot better. How does running a business, you know, and being married to the boss, or you know, being married to an employee, how does that go? What are the challenges? I mean, there's some obvious stuff. Is there anything that's not as obvious?
Well, let's just say lunchtime has been more interesting than what it would normally be if you didn't work with your spouse.
Right.
And so we get to have fun sometimes at lunch.
So, there are some perks, I suppose.
Yeah. And of course, it is not easy. Remember growing up, if you had a kid friend come over and y'all spent night together, you're still friends.
Yeah.
But by the time you'd spent maybe the third night together, you was ready for them to go home. Well, you can't do that in a marriage. And so there may be times that I might sleep on the couch just to get a little space. And there may be times she'll sleep on the couch to get a little space. But that's really all the space that we generally have to have because we're in prayer a lot.
Yeah.
And we believe God put us together for a reason.
Yeah.
And not just the four kids that we're still nurturing.
Yeah.
But for each other, because we believe wholeheartedly in what the Word says about our union.
Yeah.
That it is for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And like he said, we do pray a lot. We have our prayer times every Monday morning when we pull into the parking lot before we get out of the car. We pray together.
And that's out
for the week.
Both of you out loud?
Out loud. We're praying together out loud in the car. Their heads bowed. People parking beside us are probably wondering what we're doing, but we pray together before we get out of the car. Mm. We pray together over every meal.
We're still blessed to have kids. Blessed. And, yeah, blessed to still have kids around the table.
Yeah.
At supper every night. Say a prayer with. And,
that's good.
And Katie will show up from time to time, right, at supper time, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And because you get to have another one of your sweet children around the table.
Yeah.
But that's something, you know, that we were talking about is the prayer. If we did not have God prominent in our lives, I don't know that the marriage would have worked as long as it has.
Yeah.
Because he is an integral part of it.
Yes.
It's a commitment you make, not just to each other, but you're making a commitment before God and before man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've had rough, sure we had, and if anybody tells you they've never had a rough time in their marriage,
they're lying.
You need to shake them upside down and see what else is going to fall out.
Yeah.
Because in all honesty, if you don't have those, Doug came by the office one time, prayed with us, and he said, as iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And that's a scary statement when you think about it, because you are going to have those times where the iron does conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing that conflict, you have a sharper sense about what each other's about. And it's like we told the kids in Proverbs, Solomon makes the statement that a friend is made for love, but a brother is made for adversity.
Mm.
And when you think about that, if it wasn't for that sharpening that takes place at home between brothers and sisters and sometimes between spouses, we would not be able to work in this world as healthy, mind-wise, and stout Christians.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes. It takes that adversity from time to time to be able to grow together.
Yeah.
Just as a cliche, the caterpillar working to get out as a butterfly.
Yeah.
It has to work to attain the goal.
Yeah.
And that's what we do every day.
That's good. One interesting detail about your dating relationship is that Kendra said, hey, let's either do this or don't do it. You know, Daryl, I'm done if we're going to be stagnant. Was that a one-shot, Or has that been a trend again in your relationship where...
We've never needed that again.
Really?
Where I gave him an ultimatum?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess we have, we've probably given each other little ultimatums all through our marriage. You know, we've got to do this or we've got to do that. It's something like that, but no. When we married each other, it was for keeps.
Yeah.
So when we run through the struggles, we're not going to quit. We're going to try to find a way to work through it.
Good. Thinking about August 15th, 1981, that cute little couple by the water in Lagardo, what do you want to tell them?
Boy, there'd be so much, it'd probably take a day. Simply because what we've learned now compared to what we knew then, I don't know that we'd do very many things different.
Back then, we would make comments, well, 30 years from now, we'll be here. 30 years from now, we're in getting ready to have 34th anniversary.
Yeah.
We should have said 40 years from now or 50 years from now.
Right.
Time flew by a lot faster than what we expected.
Yeah.
But we're still looking forward to the next several years together.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I would probably tell that couple too would be stand by your commitment.
Yeah.
Because your commitment is what's going to make you in the end.
Yeah.
If you walk away from that, then you will fall more easily to other things. And I think that would be important because, you know, as far as a married couple, God said you're one.
Yeah.
And we became one flesh a long time ago. And that one flesh has worked in many ways. It's been cut, scraped, it's had stitches, it's had all kinds of things happen to it. But that one flesh is still alive until the day we part and through death. And that to me is... It's not, okay, you've made me mad, I want out of this.
Yeah.
You can't ever live that life.
No.
Because if you do that, the only person that really gets hurt is you.
Yeah.
Because the other person really doesn't know those things, because we have our own paradigms.
Yeah.
And while we might have had expectations of our marriage, and some of those were grand illusions,
right,
our marriage is solid and stable, and the product of our union has been 4 kids. That we adore, but it's because we do know where they came from, and this is something that I find humorous. Our daughters, as they were growing up, kept looking at their mama and then looking at me and going, "We were born Lassiters, but you chose to be one. What's wrong with you?"
that's great.
But she chose to be one, and she's been one ever since. And we molded her into it.
And I think that showed good judgment.
It did.
Absolutely. Well, one thing that I've been asking all the couples we've been talking to this month is, how can we pray for you guys? What do you need? What do you want? It could be obvious or not, either way.
Wow.
People would think that our marriage is a successful one. And I will say it is, but it's not done.
Right.
It's not done yet. We still have several years together. We still have kids at home. We still have college tuition to pay.
Nice.
We are still self-employed, which means we're not rich.
Sure.
So to pray for us, we'd pray for continuation of our strength with each other.
Yeah.
Within our marriage, with God's favor, for health and finances, and for our kids and for directions for the boys that are still in school.
Yeah. What do you think, Dad?
I don't want to sound off in any way, form, or fashion, but I'm in a constant prayer mode.
Yeah.
I'm in constant, so I'm always praying about her, praying about the kids, praying about the next step I take.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard because I read it years ago. You wake up in the morning and you say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And when you lay your head down on the pillow that night, is in Jesus' name is when it comes. Mm. So I'm praying for our children. I'm praying for safe passage. I'm praying for this humongous family that I call my family.
Yeah.
That's not just blood Lassiter and Cisco, but blood of Jesus family.
Yeah.
And they pop in my office a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not the ones that necessarily attend here. God puts people in every one of our paths.
Yeah.
That he wants us to lift before him in prayer. So it's, I'm always in constant prayer mode. So what I would be desirous of anybody praying for me is the strength to keep my mind clear and my heart focused on him.
Yeah.
Because if I can do those things, it all boils down to love covers a multitude of sin.
Mm.
So if we've got that love towards our spouse, towards our children,
yeah,
that grace love, that agape love, and that's what I always seek. And if anybody's praying for me, just pray that that God will continue to give me strength to let his light shine through me.
Yeah.
Because that's where I need to be always.
Yeah.
I want to be a good example.
Yeah.
And if I can't be a good example, then Father, take me home. Because I'd much rather be there anyway. So she hit it on the head. We'll always be in need of the things that are necessary for this life.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said, we pray for those things as well. Give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
So we'll always have those needs.
Yeah.
But the needs that I need the most, because the way the devil throws his darts, is for my shield to be kept strong.
Yeah.
And that those that I love know that I love them.
Yeah.
Because I do pray for them. So
awesome.
God, number one, if you come in our office, we've got a curio right there next to the front door.
Yeah.
And the curio is full of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the very top is the Bible, the cross, and the scripture.
Mm.
And the next is our family.
Yeah.
And then our church. And then our business.
Because
God's first, our family's next, and our church family, if it weren't for them, it would be so many things we wouldn't be able to accomplish.
Yeah.
Or be. If it weren't for our church family, because we're molded by the people we're around here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, and jobs last, because God's going to bless the work of your hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he does.
Even with good windows.
Even with great windows.
Yes.
That are partially cleaned. We, for 3 years, have been complaining our windows look terrible. When they finally get out to clean, to wash them, they've washed one end one and the other end one, but the rest of them are still dirty.
Maybe that's the Monday.
Love you guys.
You are loved, my friend. You know, and I have to tell you that the first time I saw you guys, I saw love, and I saw that desire to be somewhere where you could put into.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm glad y'all stayed.
Thank you. And
because we've grown with you guys. We've watched your family grow. And
it's been our privilege.
Yes, it has been.
To be a part of y'all's family too.
And we're blessed by so many people calling us mom and dad. and I love that, because in all honesty, you'll be mom and dad to others.
Yeah.
And I pray our example always flows through in those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Hope it didn't wear you out.
Not at all. See you guys soon.
God bless you.
Man, I love them so much. I am not even kidding, y'all. They are a salt of the earth type of people, and it is such an honor to have them on the show. Let's go ahead and pray. Stop where you are. It's your kitchen, your car, your office, wherever. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your servants, Daryl and Kendra. Thank you so much for their awesome, wonderful children, Father. Thank you so much for the example that they are to me and to us as younger married couples, Father. God, for their 34 years, we just thank you so much for bringing them through better and bringing them through worse. Father, God, for both of them, we ask for blessings on their health and their finances as they are self-employed, Father, and as they are continuing to pay college tuition. God, thank you so much for making that possible, God. Lord, please add a huge blessing on their relationship itself, Father, as Daryl continues to be developed by you and your Holy Spirit to be not only the husband that Kendra wants and needs, but also the husband that you want him to be, God. Lord, and also, God, just ask for your grace and your favor on Kendra as a wife for Daryl, Father. Just increase intimacy, increase their friendship, Father, especially every day, Father, as they go to the same workplace, Father. God, thank you so much for Daryl's example as a prayer warrior, Father. Continue to surround his spirit with the type of soil that he needs to continue to be the man of prayer that he is, and let that increase all the more, Father, all the more. God, thank you so much for their friendship with my wife and I, Father, and thank you so much for the example. God, thank you for the Lassiters. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. As you know, you're not going to have to wait. Well, you might not know, but you're not going to have to wait a whole week for the final episode of the marriage series. This next one is going to be even more different than the other three have been because the people that I'm going to be talking to are not quite married. In fact, they won't be married until July 18th. But I wanted to get David Nimmo and Michelle Markham on here because they are about to be married. And I thought, what an opportunity to talk to somebody that is very serious about their faith, very serious about the work of the local church, and they are about to get married. So I couldn't resist. I asked them. They said, yes, I'm going to actually be conducting that interview really soon. And I'm really excited that they're going to be on here in the next day or two. So stay tuned and you'll know about it. And thank you for listening. We will see you soon. Bye.